It's time for Youth Sports Now, the only radio show in Rochester dedicated to the excitement, the passion, the development, and well-being of young athletes. From peewee to college athletics, Youth Sports Now brings you expert advice and helps prep young athletes for the game and beyond. Youth Sports Now is sponsored by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping your young athlete achieve their peak physical performance. And presented by McQuaid Jesuit, the area's only all-boys Catholic college prep school for grades 6 through 12. And by TJT Sports Photography, taking the winning shot every time. Here's the host of Youth Sports Now, the lifelong Little Leaguer, Greg Camp.
And welcome to this edition of Youth Sports Now. Thank you, Bob Savage. I am Greg Camp, the lifelong Little Leaguer, and your coach for the next hour of Youth Sports Now. Thought we'd take a few minutes to give you some updates on some of the things we've talked about in the past, and also tease what we're going to be doing this show, because we've got some great stuff coming up. I just hope you don't get too tired, because it's going to be a real workout for the next hour or so. We had a couple of guys on a few weeks ago who were turning 50 years old, and why did we bring them on the show called Youth Sports Now? Well, these gentlemen are the two guys who are turning 50 years old and going to 50 baseball games this year. And what's interesting about it is that they are going to a lot of Little League games, which are, of course, over now with the completion of the Little League World Series. But they're also going to minor league games, high school games, and all sorts of youth recreation league games as part of their 50. Well, they are almost done. They, as far as I know, as of right this moment, from the last email that I received from the gents, they are on the West Coast, and they are picking up this last week of Major League Baseball. And they are out there talking to a whole bunch of people at the stadiums and at the fields that they are visiting. And they will be putting, of course, things on their blog, and we'll connect to that on Youth Sports Now. And speaking of which, you know, what time of year is this? This is a wonderful time of year. Think about this from a youth sports perspective of a parent and, of course, athletes and even the coaches. You know, right now you have the NFL, which, of course, is in full swing after week three or four, depending on when they play. You also have the beginning of hockey season, which is at least in the beginning of the training sessions, as the season will be starting very soon. And then, of course, you've got the baseball playoffs, and you've got basketball training camps starting, all of this on the professional level. And of course, you know, how can you possibly miss, as you skim through the radio airwaves as well as the television airwaves and cable outlets, all of the NCAA football. So you've got college football. High school sports are at the peak season. We spoke last week where we had the kids getting ready for the winter season, even though we're just in the beginning of the fall season, as we spoke with Chris Reed, who is the boys varsity basketball coach at RH, and he's certainly a champion with his teams, and he was getting ready for the upcoming season, even though the kids are still in the football season. So it's just a wonderful time of year. The weather is going to be just absolutely fantastic this weekend, and because of that, you know, we've got some great stuff coming up that we're going to be talking about. And one of the things we're going to be talking about is cross-country running. And cross-country running is something that is huge within the Rochester area. And it's certainly going to be something that's very, very big this weekend. So we're going to be talking with Todd Stewart. Todd is the head coach of the cross-country team at McQuaid Jesuit. And also, he's going to be running, not literally, but he's going to be running the 49th annual McQuaid Invitational. So when we come back, we're going to have Todd with us, have a chat about cross country and about this wonderful big event that is drawing runners from all across the East Coast. We'll be back on Youth Sports Now.
You're listening to Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM, 1040 AM. Get the podcast and live stream at WYSL1040.com.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
There's only one Little League where 500,000 girls can play their hearts out and be seen by the world. Little League Softball, televised nationwide in four divisions. Join a real Little League. Sign up today. Little League rules for a reason.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
And we are back on Youth Sports Now. Greg Camp with you, your coach and lifelong Little Leaguer. Today we've got a really, an interesting show. I have to admit there's a little bit of nepotism involved in this because we're going to be talking with some folks from McQuaid. McQuaid Jesuit, which of course is one of our sponsors, but also the school that I attended. Although I can honestly say the thought of trying to run is nothing that ever occurred to me. I decided to stay on the baseball and the football fields and not attempt to run across all sorts of miles and everything. But let me explain a little bit about what we got going on. You know, cross-country running is a sport in which the teams and individuals run a race in an open-air course, and it's over natural terrain. And then actually, Mike Naparella from Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is going to be talking about that during his segment about the importance of training and having that functional workout prior to actually going on a cross-country course and running. But it's not done in the normal course of a track and field event in the sense that you're on the same type of surface. So you're running all sorts of different places, gravel roads and uphill, downhill, and I'm sure potholes and all sorts of things. And the runners are judged on an individual times, but also a point scoring method for teams. And it's for obviously both men and women of all ages who compete in cross country, which usually takes place during the fall. And we are lucky enough here in the Rochester area to be the host, if you will, to one of the largest scholastic meets in the entire United States. Last year in 2012, the McQuaid Invitational drew over 7,000 entries from 246 schools in five states and Canada. That is not a small little event. What's coming up this Saturday is the 49th annual McQuaid Invitational, and I certainly remember the years that I was at McQuaid where this took place, and I'm happy to say at least that I'm a little bit older than the 49th annual event in and of itself. With us is Todd Stewart. Todd is from McQuaid Jesuit. He is the head cross country coach, and Todd, first of all, welcome to U Sports Now, and tell us, you know, 49th annual McQuaid Invitational, pretty big deal. Tell us about the event first.
All right. Well, thanks for having us. We appreciate the exposure and the opportunity to talk a little bit about it. You know, in the running community in the Rochester area, it's something that's pretty well known. But to the community, it should be something that matters. This is a major event. has drawn attention from all the way out to California. Just last year, we had a team come in from Texas, a Strake Jesuit. So, you know, this is a very well-known event nationwide. We're going into our 49th this year, and our entries, as we've been continuing to watch, climb and climb. We're over 7,800 entries involved this year and looking to top close to 250 teams. So
that boggles my mind. I mean, when you say entries and you're over, 7,000 entries, that's actual individual runners. So during the course of a day, which you're going to have to explain this and we'll go into this momentarily, that it's not 7,000 runners out on a course at one time, but it's there's time slots and all that, which we'll get into. But to think that there are 7,000 runners coming to Rochester to run in the McQuaid Invitational is pretty impressive stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, when you hear about the major marathons and whatnot, Boston, and, you're talking 13, 15, 20,000 people, we're starting to creep in those numbers, and we're just talking about what's limited to high school and junior high runners alone. So
very, very impressive. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about this. The 49th Annual McQuaid Invitational, if I remember correctly from my days, which are a long, long time ago, we won't get into that, but is it still at Genesee Valley Park, and how does it work, and how is the course laid out to be a cross-country invitational course?
Yeah, it's still being held at Genesee Valley Park, as it has been for years. The course layout, from a meet director perspective, one thing we try to do is, not only what's best for the runners, but what's best for the spectators. A lot of people come from far and near to attend the event, and we want them to be just as involved as we want the runners. The more you get the crowd involved, the better the performance is going to be for most of the runners. So it's a design where it pretty much goes around the outer part of the main section over the course. We do send the runners right through the heart of it, I would say, which gives the spectators an opportunity. I say, as a coach, I get about 5 or 6 opportunities to be up in the face of my runners. So you can get to move back and forth. And, I think it's fun for both. I think the kids love it. It's a wall-to-wall, probably for a good half of the course, of people up in your face and moving you along. So
that's fantastic. I mean, there's not a lot of sports, even at the high school level, where the spectators can be that close. I mean, you think about golf and football and soccer and field hockey and all that good stuff, and you're usually, stuck in the stands and you're not that close to the athletes. With this event, the 49th Annual McQuaid Invitational, how did it start? What was the history or the origin of, the very first McQuaid Invitational?
Well, there's a key name behind it all. It's Eric Kendrick. Eric was an outstanding and talented runner, and even to this day in our own program is one of the top standards. Eric was pretty much unbeatable. He went undefeated in his one season. And, Coach Bob Bradley at the time was looking to get some challenges in there to get Eric some competition, as well as the team. They had a great team back then. And invitationals weren't such a common thing in the early 60s, especially in the Rochester area. Usually it would travel out to Syracuse. So Bob decided to have an invite of their own, try to bring in some top area teams. And, and the standard was simple. Bring in top-notch competitors. Make this an event that's going to be worthwhile, and hopefully find someone to top Eric. Lucky for McQuaid and fortunate for McQuaid, Eric cannot be beaten. So
great. So this is obviously the 49th annual. And I was looking on the website, which that you had given me, the McQuaid Invitational.com. And it's a great website for the parents and the spectators and the coaches to go to. Let's talk a little bit about the day in and of itself. You're starting at like somewhere close to 8:30, 8:50, 8:45 in the morning, and then you go until 5:30 with all sorts of races. How does it work? How do you time the races out, not in terms of the speed of the runners, but when you start the races, where you start the races, and maybe the best place for a spectator to go?
Well, it's taken years of calculation, of course. As the meet has grown, we've had to grow with it. The first race goes off at 9 a.m., and, it's basically been through trial and error over the time to calculate. You'll start one race, and as that race begins to finish, you're already starting the next race, and to move 25 races throughout the day, including the Alumni Challenge at the end, making 26. That's just basically been through the experience. Of course, like, you know, you look at Bob Bradley, who's been involved with all 49, you know, and it's been his calculation. We've had some guys like Rick Perry, who's been the course marshal, and, you know, his years of experience trying to map out just when these races need to go off. You know, it's with precision. It just can't happen at random. I think one of the things that amazes people the most about our invites is, you know, we're trying to run 25 races given that particular day. How accurate are we are? And I got to give Rick Smith, our starter, the credit. He is, you know, single-handedly responsible for lining up anywhere between 300 and 400 athletes for one race and getting that race off on time. So, you know, it takes a lot of calculation. It's taken years of experience to get it where it is today, but I think the formula certainly works for us at this point.
So if you know, a spectator from the Rochester area, whether it be, you know, a McQuaid parents or family members or alumni, or if it just, you know, fans of the sport of cross country or of running, you know, they go to Genesee Valley Park, where can they go to see and get up close, as we talked momentarily or a few minutes ago, where can they go get up close to see this race take place?
Well, we have a main section of Genesee Valley Park, and really it's right off the East River Road exit. If you get into that section of the park, you're pretty much going to be able to see about 60 to 70% of the race. You know, you can go right down in the middle of the field and, you know, put your head on a swivel. You're going to be able to see the race go on. You know, basically the first quarter mile runs right through the middle of the field. They do disappear out, you know, around an inner loop for about a half mile in the back. But once they re-enter the park, you're going to be able to see that race all the way around you. You know, like I said, with almost 400 runners, you're going to see a long train basically that wraps around the outside of the park. So if they come in on the East River Road exit, you know, make the, you know, put themselves in the heartland of the big open field is basically what it is they're going to be able to see pretty much, you know, 60-70% of the race, I think.
Again, that boggles my mind that they could be that close to the activity. Now, you know, we are speaking with Todd Stewart. Todd is from McQuaid Jesuit and is the head cross country coach and also putting together this year's 49th annual McQuaid Invitational. And Todd, you know, if the runners are out there, and, you know, I'm assuming that as a coach, you know how to get into the runner's mind. So I want to tap into that for a second. When the runners are out on a cross country course, are they in such a zone that nothing matters around them, whether it's the other runners or whether it might be the spectators? Or, you know, if you go out and you're cheering on your favorite school or your favorite runner or whatever, can they hear you? I mean, are they paying attention to that stuff, and does it jazz them, or is it more of a burden to have people there?
I guess that's a great question. I mean, you know, in some cases, it's you know, as you've mentioned, the first thing, you know, guys get in a zone, and I've heard my own guys say, you know, I don't hear much going on. But my experience as a coach, as an athlete who's competed in the McQuaid Invitational, the crowd is hard to ignore. And I really think that's what makes this event one of the most special events in the U.S. And I've been told that by many of the parents and the athletes. It's the fact that you can get the crowd into it that moves the human spirit to just move along that much more. Yes, they're in their zone, and it's a tricky zone. You've got a lot of top-caliber athletes in the nation, but you also got a lot of hype surrounding it, you know, and as a runner, you've got to figure out that balance. You know, do you get caught up early in the hype with the crowd getting behind you, or do you be, you know, be a little cautious early on and let the crowd get behind you later on, you know? So, but the crowd for sure plays a huge role at the McQuaid Invite. Like I said, because there's so much wall-to-wall action of people out there, you know, we're going to see over 13,000 people cross that park through the day. You know, it's easy to keep the human spirit moving. You know, they do move you along. And last year we seen, you know, a record amount of times being crossed. You know, you look at 15 minutes as a real, you know, championship runner. And we had 14 of them last year break 15. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with the crowd moving you. A lot of that has to do with Bob Bradley, who announces it like a horse race from the center of the field. And it is one of the crowd favorites to have Bob announce the race. He's the voice of McQuaid. You know, hearing your name, and I've had this happen to me, hearing my name called as an athlete while the race is going on over the loudspeaker for the rest of the park to hear. Sure, you want to step up and meet that challenge.
Sure. No, so how you know, for the fans who are listening to youth sports now, how long or how many miles is the actual course? So when we say that it's a cross country meet, it's an invitational, and you know, you said 15 minutes is a good time. What's the mileage, if you will?
Well, we get that varsity JV course ticking right at 3 miles exactly. That's something that you know, Bob in particular and Pete Glavin, when he was in charge, have been very accurate, trying to get that right to the 3 mile point. Most high school races are going to be about 5K. That's your standard championship course. We leave ours right at 3 miles, which isn't uncommon. You know, some even run a little shorter. The modified courses, if you will, or junior high races, they're measured at 1.67 miles.
Okay, so with the athletes who are going to be involved in the McQuaid Invitational, Todd, what is the, I know there's an alumni race that goes off last, the last event of the day. You mentioned modified, and then of course the high school. So these are all students, correct? I mean, we're not going to get any ringers in here from the Boston Marathon who, you know, from Kenya or anything like that.
No, they're all students, you know, all legitimate schools, you know, no club teams or anything like that. So we get about, you know, 20 schools from Canada and
great. Great. That's just sounds like a wonderful event. Let me continue with you as the coach of the McQuaid track team or the cross country team. What is it that you do as a coach to motivate the players or the athletes, the runners, in a case where it's an invitational like this and they are competing against not the average everyday runners from, say, Section 5. I mean, you've got those runners involved in the invitational as well. But you've got, as you mentioned before, Texas, maybe California, you've got Canada. How do you, as a coach, motivate them and get them ready?
Well, one of the great and unique things you'll notice about cross country in high school is the amount of teams that will travel. You know, even Section 5 teams travel a lot of times outside the state, like last week where Queensbury is going to be the host state or the host meet site for the state meet. One of the great things that we can do as a program is travel all over New York State ourselves to try to find, at the time, what's a big and best meet. Obviously, it's hard to top the McQuaid Invitational, but just exposing our guys to top-level competition. You know, we compete a lot in Syracuse, and Syracuse is well-known as being one of the better sections in New York State and nationally when you're talking about the Fayetteville Manliest programs and whatnot. So I think just trying to expose them to a big meet atmosphere. You know, in terms of our own meet, sometimes you just have to tell them to run the best within their own selves. You know, it's hard to gauge when you're out there, really. You know, we were very fortunate to win the event back in 2009. And even when the race is, you know, over, there's no telling who won because the the numbers are all over the place.
Sure.
You know, until they're announced, you have no idea. And that's what you got to remind the guys is, you know, you just got to run your best race, stick to your plan, do what works best for you, and just see how it kind of shakes out in the end because it's so deep.
And that's actually a good point, Todd. How does it work with an athlete who is a cross-country runner? As I mentioned near the top of the show, that we've got, you know, cross-country is a sport in which there's team and individual, you know, races or competition. So how do you as a coach balance that, where you've got the runner who is out there running for himself, and obviously he potentially is self-motivated to win, but then at the same time, they're part of a team, and you've got to be able to balance as a coach, I would imagine, the competitive spirit as an individual as well as the competitive spirit as being part of a team. How do you do that with these kids?
I'd like to hear my guy's response on that. I try to do as much as I can to ditch the me mentality, you know, and I constantly try to coach the guys to, you know, as I say, it's a train. Once that first guy gets in, you know, to the number two guy, where are you? And how soon are you there to get your brother's back that's, you know, finishing in front of you? You know, when number two finishes, hey, number three, where are you? You know, and yeah, I was a front runner for my high school for Hornell, and I remember and I love the pressure of being that first guy to punch in as early as a ticket as I can. And, you know, I tell these guys, the second you start thinking about yourself out there and how unfortunate you might feel in the midst of pain, once you start thinking about you, you're a little too selfish and you really need to give yourself up the way the rest of your teammates gave themselves up for you. And I have found the guys really respond positive to that comment.
Wow, that's really a great philosophical approach for a coach, and that could be something even in other sports, you know, including team sports. We are talking on U Sports Now with Todd Stewart. Todd is the head cross country coach at McQuaid Jesuit, and also very much involved in this weekend's McQuaid Invitational, which is the 49th annual this Saturday at Genesee Valley Park. 26 races during the day, starting at about 9 o'clock through about 5:30, and you as a spectator can get right in the middle of this one at Genesee Valley Park. Todd's saying the East River Road entrance is probably your best bet, and you can be right there in the middle and cheer your favorite team, your favorite school, your favorite player and runner. And of course, you know, there's going to be a lot of people from around the country. Let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, as a coach myself, but within the baseball realm, you know, I try and do my best to cut all disturbances and distractions from my team prior to the big games, especially when we're on the road. Now, cross country is a very different, you know, beast in the sense that, as you mentioned earlier, the programs that are coming to the McQuaid Invitational, they travel. You, as the coach of McQuaid, your cross country team travels. So they may be a little bit more used to it than other sports, but how do you have them get rid of the distractions of having to stay in a hotel? You've got, I mean, I don't care how old they are, whether they're a freshman or whether they're a senior, there's the pool. And then, of course, they're, you know, in this, McQuaid's an all-guys school. In this Invitational, you've got some girls' schools coming. So you've got that distraction. So how do you, when you're on the road with a team, keep the distractions away to keep them focused?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, and I honestly, when talking to my guys, I try to tell them just to enjoy the atmosphere. You know, as long as you're able to get into your zone, your focus, the morning of the race, you know, I tell them, be reasonable and just keep in mind the night before, you know, if you really want to do your best tomorrow, it's going to take, you know, a matter of focus. But at the same time, I try to encourage them, you know, these are once in a life, you know, lifetime opportunities and memories, and just really try to enjoy the atmosphere. I think that, in a sense, will take pressure off of them. But, you know, remind them of good behavior and, you know, good eating habits and sleeping habits that's going to have an effect on your race. So just, you know, keep those in mind. I'm very fortunate at McQuaid. I'm used to having disciplined kids. You know, these are great students. These are kids that are used to disciplining. They're very self-motivated. So I don't have to go overboard with getting them in that zone, but one of the other things we do is a meditation every Friday in the chapel. And this is something they've gotten very used to. You know, this is something that we even do on the road. We have these things pre-recorded. And, you know, they use that as a tool the night before the races to start to put them in that zone.
Well, I won't bring up the days of my years at McQuaid, because I'm sure that those meditations would be in Latin. But, you know, one thing, Todd, that I wanted to ask you, brought up a good point. You know, you do have some control as a coach, and certainly the runners have control of things like, you know, nutrition and proper sleep and proper habits before, you know, a big meet or a big invite like this. But the one thing you don't have control over is the weather. So, you know, you've got this McQuaid Invitational, the 49th annual is coming up on Saturday. At least right now, the forecast is a good one. But, you know, I know for a fact that there's been some times where it's been run in the rain, the sleet, the snow. And how does a coach, but also how does one of your runners prepare for having to do this in weather conditions that aren't, you know, 68 and sunny?
Yeah, unlike last year, that's exactly what we had, the 68 and sunny, but the year before it was in the mid-30s and rainy and sleet. You know, you train for it. You just simply train for it. Every day that you you attend practice, you're going to be handed or dealt a different set of cards, you know, and that's an easy reminder to the guys. You know, especially a long day like that at Genesee Valley Park where you might be slishing and sloshing through the rain, you know, you just explain to them, keep warm. You know, I encourage our guys, we're fortunate that we're local, show up a little later. You know, if you can stay at home for most of the good part of the day, show up, you know, a couple hours before race time just to stay out of the yuck, you know. But I know for other teams, that's not always going to be the case. You just prepare for the elements. And, you know, late September, early October, when this is hosted in Rochester, you've got to know the weather could change on the dime.
Sure, sure. So you know, with the other the teams that are coming in from across the country, what type of, I mean, are there facilities where they can, you know, hang out, or do they have to go back to the hotel, or are there tents provided for them to go into? I'm sure there's first aid and all that kind of stuff. But what do they do if the weather is bad, and how do they handle it?
Well, you know, early in the morning, we tend to have the smaller schools, which tend to draw a lot of the Southern Tier and Pennsylvania teams. You know, they're coming in from hotels, and a lot of times we've had bad weather. They've been very fortunate. They're out of there and gone by the afternoon, so it's not too long of a day for them. I think some of the out-of-town coaches coming in, from the ones I've spoke with, they're going to hang out in their hotel rooms until, you know, a reasonable hour, I suppose. The nice thing about being at Genesee Valley Park is Henrietta is filled with most of the hotels that, you know, house these out-of-town athletes. I think a lot of them will just take camp, and, you know, they'll show up when necessary.
So we've got, you know, of course, the 49th annual McQuaid Invitational is this Saturday. And again, 26 races during the day from about 9 o'clock in the morning. And the, you know, as a spectator, we encourage our Youth Sports Now radio fans to go out there and check this out. I mean, even if you're not a fan of cross country or running, or you've never been to an event like this, It's pretty cool to see, because as Todd is saying, I mean, you've got over 7,000 entries, and it's just a wonderful thing to see this massive humanity running through the park. And, you know, it's fantastic to watch. So I encourage you to go. But I've got to ask you, Todd, before we wrap things up, is, you know, we're in the 49th here in 2013, but a year from now, we've got the 50th. So you can't tell me, or you can, but I'm not going to believe you, that there hasn't been some sort of conversation about next year.
Well, I think we've been preparing for the 50th probably for the past year and a half, 2 years now. You know, it's the golden anniversary, in a sense, that we've been very fortunate to watch this meet continue to grow. It's almost nerve-wracking for ourselves as meet directors. How do you keep growing? But we got some ideas in mind that, you know, we want to roll with. New things, new technology that we're going to introduce, and, you know, we want the event to be very special. It already is very special, but, you know, we're doing our best to really highlight the fact that it has been 50 years in the making, and we're very fortunate that we continue to head in the direction that we head.
All right. We've been speaking with Todd Stewart, the cross-country head coach at McQuaid Jesuit, and working with the 49th annual McQuaid Invitational this Saturday. Don't miss it, and stay tuned. We'll come back for the Youth Sports Now with a final thought or two, and of course, Mike Naparella's Peak Performance Physical Therapy segment.
On WYSL 92.1 FM, 1040 AM, get the webcast and the podcast at WYSL1040.com.
Proudly conservative. WYSL. Rochester's home for America's morning show with Quinn and Rose. 92.1 FM and 1040 AM. WYSL, Avon, Rochester.
There's only one Little League where the kids of summer take over the world. The Little League Baseball World Series, televised worldwide. To be part of this, join a real Little League. Sign up today. Little League rules for a reason.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From Pee Wee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from your home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference. Call Peak Performance at 218-0240. That's Peak Performance, 218-0240. We'll be expecting you.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Youth Sports Now presents Your Peak Performance, topics that support the well-being of your young athlete, presented by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester.
We are back on Youth Sports Now, and it is the Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training segment. And we've got our good friend Mike Naparella from Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training. How's it going today, Mike?
I'm doing awesome, Greg. How's it going with you?
Great, thanks. Hey, I hear you've got a big volleyball game to attend tonight.
Our varsity team at Arundel-Coit's got a game against Batavia, and it's always a real pleasure to be able to go watch the girls play and especially see my daughter Mandy play. So I am looking forward to that.
Well, great. We've got our folks from McQuaid were our guests in the first two segments, and we were talking about the big McQuaid, the 49th annual McQuaid Invitational, which is one of the biggest cross-country meets anywhere in the United States. And, just thousands of runners and all sorts of schools going to be there for this event. So, I think it makes sense, to go to a cross-country question. And actually, we have one, Mike, from one of our listeners. And it sounds like this young person is one of the athletes who knows, may be running this week. The question they ask of you is, I'm running in fall cross-country. And with the weather changes, is there something that I should do to make my pre-run stretching more effective? They're located here in Rochester, and they're going to be running in the cold. And obviously, it looks like this weekend we've got some good weather coming, but they may be running in the cold. So what can you help them with?
I think that's a really good question. It's timely, obviously, with the fall coming and things cooling off and the rain with colder weather. Athletes are definitely wondering what's the right thing to do, and I think so. With the McQuaid Invitational here on board this weekend, it's even more fitting. So, yeah, let's go back for a moment in talking about this to something that we've talked, maybe many months ago. But it's a really important point to bring up again. I like how they asked the question because it feeds right into the topic. They talked about pre-run stretching. And I want to just, remind and educate and caution listeners that athletes really need to be thinking about, coaches need to be thinking about, are we talking about stretching or are we talking about to warm up? Are we talking about flexibility? Athletes who are lacking motion should be doing stretching regularly to gain flexibility. And that's something that would be happening every day, every 2 days. You're doing that regularly, much like you'd think of a dancer or a martial artist who's trying to gain more mobility. Now, many runners, have flexibility issues, but some don't. And so the question then becomes, how much stretching do you need to do as part of your pre-run warm-up? And so the idea of that word warm-up is really critical, Greg. We talked before about the difference between flexibility and stretching juxtaposed with dynamic warm-up. And I think that's really what this athlete needs to be looking for, is those sorts of drills where they're gradually building up their metabolism, they're increasing their body temperature, they're turning on the nervous system. Stretching is one of those things that, if you're sitting down on the floor and doing kind of a quiet, static stretching sort of routine, will tend to lower your metabolism, sort of dulls the nervous system. Yes, absolutely, you're lengthening tissues. But the problem is that if you do that right before an activity, it's not really the best preparation. So yes, those athletes should be stretching. We certainly ideally like to see them do that in a warmed-up state. If they feel more comfortable doing that indoors, where it's a little bit warmer first, that's fine. But absolutely prior to the event, we would recommend get yourself out there in the weather that you're going to be in. Go ahead and do a dynamic warm-up routine. And we've talked about that a little bit before. We really like to see them include three planes of motion. Running is very much a sagittal plane, which is the name for forward and backward motion. We see the legs and the arms moving forward and backward. But really, when you watch runners, there's very critical things that are going on in the transverse plane or twisting, and some very important things in the side-to-side plane or frontal motions. And so we really want to see that athlete, Greg, begin doing warm-ups, lunges, balancing and reaching, leg swings, locomotion-based things where they're jogging and backpedaling and lunge walking and skipping and hopping, doing some of those multi-directional locomotor and warm-up sort of activities so that now they're picking up their body's metabolism, they're turning on the nervous system, so that body is really prepped and ready to go. And I think that, you know, yes, they can do that indoors. That's part of the question this runner had. Sure, you can do it indoors, but you're going to go compete in that weather outside. I think you've got to get yourself prepared for it. So getting back outside and making sure, especially if it's cool outside, you haven't warmed up out inside, go stand outside and sort of cool back down, standing still, and then wait for your race. Get yourself moving outside, outdoors, get your body warmed up and acclimated so that when that event starts, you're ready to go.
And Mike, I would assume that, you know, from your perspective as a physical therapist, that, you know, doing that outside in the weather where they're going to be running in a cross-country meet is probably even more so important with the cross-country runners when you consider this. If they were in a track meet, they're going to be at least, in most cases, on a level field or a level surface. With the cross-country people, they're going to be going up and down hills. They're going to be on pavement. They're going to be, I'm sure, hitting potholes and, you know, all sorts of natural obstacles. So being out there to do this dynamic warm-up is probably more important for the cross-country runner than maybe we would think.
Greg, I love your thought process. It's almost like I think you work for us. We might have to hire you in the clinic. That line of thinking is absolutely perfect. It speaks volumes to the concept of understanding why, particularly, like you said, a cross-country runner who deals with slopes of surfaces, uneven surfaces, inclines and declines, uniquely compared to someone who may be on a track running on a flat surface, has to prepare and warm up for those things. Sometimes we make the mistake in a running sport like that of just jogging and running forward and forgetting that there's going to be inclines and declines and uneven surfaces, and that's where what we called the frontal side-to-side and the transverse, the twisting, directions of movements and preparations can be so important, because if a runner prepares themselves in what we call that sagittal plane, the forward and backward movement that's very common, and they do that only, and now they're in the race and they hit an uneven surface while they're running on an incline or a decline and they get bumped by somebody else and they get knocked off, you know, the question becomes, number one, are you prepared physically to deal with that and not get hurt? But then number two, are you prepared to still perform at a high level, or does that kind of knock you off, throw you off a little bit, and now, you know, someone else has a few body length lead on you, and you have a hard time, you know, gradually they start taking that lead away, and you're struggling because you get knocked off a little bit, because it's not the perfect path you've been practicing. That variety is key, we think.
Well, Mike, you know, let's take it a step further, and no pun intended with the cross-country running, but, you know, in any sport, you have athletes who are going to be potentially rehabbing with you at peak performance, and they're working with you, and they might be working with a sports trainer at school. So the question that I have for you is, you know, when they're rehabbing, you know, if they're tentative, couldn't they create another injury? And isn't that something that you as the PT, but also if they have a trainer at school, and of course, shouldn't the coach be aware of it, and how can they avoid it?
Absolutely. That's, Greg, that's actually a much deeper question than you realize, or even the listener that I think wrote that in realizes. First, let's talk about it at the level that you asked it. You know, we're talking about the patient themselves getting too tentative, and I agree totally. You know, I think our job in physical therapy is we've got to help them have been prepared so well by the rigors of the tasks that we do, by the variety, by the volume, by the intensity, by the multiple directions, by the unexpected reactions, all those things that may be part of various sports. If we've prepared them well, then when they go back, there shouldn't be that tentativeness. I think we like to say that competence builds confidence. And so I think if we can design programs as physical therapists and at my place at Peak Performance, if our therapists can build a program that appropriately challenges an athlete, that gives them competence in various tasks. I know I can land and have my knee wobble on me and save myself. I know that I can throw the ball really hard and my shoulder doesn't go out. I know that I can land from that volleyball spike and not sprain my ankle because I've done those drills so aggressively in rehab, but progressively, not just aggressively, but progressively, sensible build-ups over time, that I now have confidence as what I was, an injured athlete. With that competence, now I can have confidence. Because you don't want, exactly like you said, you don't want an athlete going out and being tentative and risking injury. And oftentimes, you know, we think, well, just play light. It's really difficult if you have these natural instincts and these motor patterns of how you played the sport before, and you go back and you're holding back too much. I agree totally. Being tentative can actually add to risk. It doesn't necessarily reduce the risk. But this question actually should push us as physical therapists and just professionals in general a bit as well. I think let's turn this around, Greg, and let's say, what about the physical therapist himself? You've got to make sure that you have a physician, an athletic trainer, and in our case, a physical therapist, who is really well-versed in the biomechanics of function, who really understands how to analyze and pick apart and really fully appreciate those different three planes of motion and how forces are acting upon the body in your sport. Because if that therapist is tentative, we're in trouble. And I think sometimes some of the programs that we see out there, you know, whether it's in a story on the news or in a journal article or even in a course that we go to sometimes what's happening is we're trying to create too sterile, too constraining of an environment for these athletes. And a knee is a perfect example, Greg. Very commonly, we talk about landing a squat or doing a lunge, and we want to see the knee go over the toes, directed over the foot versus directing to the left or to the right, but generally over the foot. And generally speaking, I totally agree with that. However, if you watch videotape of any soccer player, football player, basketball player, someone fielding in a baseball game, a lacrosse player, name the sport, you're going to see athletes who, when they cut and change direction, when they land and get bumped, their knee, and we'll just talk about the knee for now, this is true of other body parts as well, doesn't end up landing in the perfect position. So we certainly don't want to train them to go in very bad, evil, dangerous places. But I think we have to be careful as professionals as well, not just the athlete, but the professional, of getting too sterile in the way that we try and protect somebody. Early on, absolutely. High protection phase. Gradually over time, just prior to return to sport, critical that we start giving measured doses of reality to that athlete. And we've got to make sure that we've prepared them to not only handle that sterile environment of everything falling in the right place, like your cross-country runner example, their foot's landing right where they wanted to every time. That's fine. But what about the cross-country runner who sprained their ankle and they're dealing with a hilly course that's a little bit wet, and a pack of kids going around a turn on a downhill slope that has an uneven landing on it, and that ankle lands that way again? I believe my job as a physical therapist is to understand the mechanics and the risks and the activities in that sport so well that I'm not tentative, that before I let that cross-country athlete back, I haven't just made sure they can land on a flat surface, but I make sure they can land if they've been bumped. I make sure they can land if there's a little a tilt to the left or a tilt to the right or a twist that occurs. It's our job to prepare them for the what-ifs. And at Peak Performance, I think, you know, the thing that I appreciate about, you know, our approach, but also the staff that we have, is that level of biomechanical training lets us try to help build that competence so the athlete is confident and we, too, can be confident because we know we prepared them for all the what-ifs, not just everything falling in line perfectly.
So Mike, you know, in our remaining minute and a half or so here, you know, what can coaches do? I mean, we have spoken, you know, in past shows very much about bringing the coach in and having them be far more educated and involved about things like this, like rehabbing and you know, the kids or the athletes not being tentative. You know, what can we do or what can we suggest for the coaches? Because not every coach is going to be as informed as they should be. But at the same time, not every coach is a PT like yourself or a sports trainer that that can work with the kids. So what can we do to help them?
Well, let me give you just one example of what we talked about that feeds off of the example I gave last week. Let's say you have an athlete who played soccer and they're coming back from an ankle sprain, or maybe they twisted it earlier in the game. And they seem to be walking around fine. They kind of shook it off. It was a minor tweak. And you're wondering if they can play, but the trainer's not there for the school. What kind of sensible thing do you do to prepare that athlete to see if they can play on the field? Well, let's step back a moment and realize that the game of soccer is going to require hard decelerations, moving in multiple directions. They may have to land moving sideways. They may have to land twisting. And there's contact. If the only thing I do as a coach or a trainer or a physical therapist for that matter, but if the only thing I do is see if Mary or Susie or Johnny can run forward really fast, but I don't make them stop on a dime on that injured leg, then I'm sort of short-selling the testing. If I haven't had them hop on one leg side to side and twist or leap and land onto it and land on one leg and land on it in a kind of an odd position and test it, I may have guaranteed they can sprint, but I haven't really shown prior to putting them back in that they can handle all those other unique stresses. So I think part of it is stepping back a bit and thinking just like coaches do think. Coaches like yourself, Greg, you think of things in stepwise fashion, right? You don't start with the most complex activities first. You build them gradually. We want to make sure that as an athlete going back to a sport, we think about the big picture. But then let's step back and take some of those small steps and look at each one of them. Can you sprint? Can you backpedal? Can you jump? Can you land on it if you're twisting to the left? If you're running and you get bumped, how do you deal with that? And so I think part of it is just being a little bit more comprehensive with the way that we check our athletes. It only takes a few minutes. You know, it doesn't have to be a four-hour test. But I think we have to be careful to get beyond some of the simplicities, because that athlete, if they go back, we're throwing them to the wolves. We're putting them in harm's way if we haven't really crossed our T's and dotted our I's, whether you're a coach or a parent or the athlete themselves or certainly a paid professional like an athletic trainer or a doctor or a therapist. We've all got that job to do.
Well, Mike, you know, it seems to me that one of the first steps that the coaches and the parents and athletes themselves can do is to certainly check out physical therapy tips and information and blogs that you have provided, both on the Peak Performance Physical Therapy website as well as the Youth Sports Now radio website, where they can go to and get some of this information. And, of course, if you need to, give Mike a call and get over and see him, and hopefully he'll be able to, not hopefully, but he will be able to help you along with his staff for your players if you are a coach or a parent. When we come back, I'll have some final thoughts for the day, and we'll wrap up this segment of Youth Sports Now.
Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from home, where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family, where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
My son's first official tryout came at age 9 for a baseball league that was considered highly competitive. He was a catcher because of his size and was a starter in the league previous to his tryout. He was also the kid who was big enough to block the plate, and even though there were about 70 other players trying out, he felt his chances were pretty good, knowing that not all of them were catchers. In the end, he was cut and sent to the lower league to play. Lots of really good players that year didn't make it, but that was no consolation. He felt like he just wasn't good enough. As a parent, I too was devastated. And as a coach, to this very day, the worst time of year is cut time. Not all young athletes are deeply affected by the team cuts, and we'll eventually realize that sports can sometimes be very selective. Regardless of how deeply affected or not the youngster is, there's no way that it won't hurt them. So, what can parents do to prepare athletes as well as help them if they are cut? First, explain that everyone gets a chance to shine, and sometimes it's someone else's turn, and next time it could be theirs. Ask at the time of registration what the coaches will be looking for, and then work with your daughter and your son to make sure that they know those drills. Remember, it all starts at home. Prepare them to work hard, but also have them understand that there's a chance that they will not make the team. Tell them any personal stories that you went through when you were a kid. If they love the sport and they've been cut, find alternatives, other leagues, camps, private coaching, clinics, and things like that. Allow them to feel hurt if they get cut. If they want to be alone, let them be alone. If they need to talk, be there for them and help them put this in perspective. Finally, you as parents, keep it in perspective yourselves. This helps the athlete as they will pick up on your emotions as much as they trust in their own. As difficult as it is getting cut from a team, remember to be there for the kids. Understand how they hurt and how they feel, especially if one of their best friends makes the team. Love them. Respect them, and make sure they know that they'll never be cut from your team. And that's The View from my dugout.
This has been Youth Sports Now. Rochester's only radio show dedicated to the youth athlete has been brought to you by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping your young athlete achieve their peak physical performance, and by McQuaid Jesuit High School, and by TJT Sports Photography. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, or our website at www.youthsportsnowradio.com.